Welcome to Homegrown Podcast with Raphael Anthony.
And Jamar McClain. What up, y'all?
Today is an awesome day. We definitely want to catch up, you guys, of an amazing week that we had. So last week, I had a show here at Long Beach called at the Kesara Bar, which I was hosting an art music show called Spheres.
And it was a good turnout, too.
It was an all right turnout. It wasn't as big as I wish it could have been because it was a weekday. It was kind of rough, but the ones who did show out so support, I really thank you for that. Two of my prints sold, so that was nice. That's positive that day. But it was great for Kesara to host me that day. It was really awesome. Really appreciate it.
I bet I couldn't make it, bro. I was held up.
You sound a little...
I think my son got me sick, man. I'm getting over a little cold. So I'll make sure I don't cough in the mic.
you did vaccinate, right? Nah. You know the anti-vaccine movement going around
No, I didn't do no flu shot. All I did was take a shot of whiskey. Some Jameson. But yeah, that's cool, man. I got some shows coming up this week, so I still got to fight through the sickness. I sweat it out. So any ladies out there want to help me sweat it out? I got a show tonight, got a show Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, so yeah, this shit ain't stopping me, though.
Way to be.
I'm a little lethargic, though. Sorry, guys, the energy's not all there.
Well, one thing for sure, we want to say thank you to our sponsors. The first one is Culture Alliance of Long Beach for offering their location for us to be able to record. CALB is a nonprofit organization dedicated to showcasing artists, creative types, and community engagements in Long Beach. Follow them on facebook.com/ Culture Alliance of Long Beach and check out their events page. They do have a show coming up on March the 9th. Behind us, you see a new painting by the artist Enrique Brito.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. I like it.
Yeah, so he'll definitely be showing his work. He has it all over the place down here.
Yeah, it looks like some Pablo Picasso or some shit. It's enhancing my high.
It's really nice.
And we also got a shout out, of course, CALB, Cultural Alliance of Long Beach.
No, AMC.
I thought you did.
I already did CALB. All right. You are sick.
We also got a shout out, AMC, of course you guys know, which is Art, Music, and Culture. And their organization to promote
curate.
AMC is an organization to promote and curate art and music exhibitions. Make sure you guys follow them on Instagram, which is Art, Music, and Culture.
We got the police outside.
Hey, as long as they're not fucking with me, I'm
cool. I don't know if you guys can hear them. But thank you so much. And of course, our clubhouses.
Yeah, we got the Bottoms Up Bar, which the next show is going to be March 29th out in Staten, California, Orange County. And then we got the J-Spot Comedy Club in L.A. on Manchester. And that next show is not going to be until May. And, of course, Penthouse Lounge, where you could go and get your lap dances for free. It's not a strip club. It just looks like one. But, yeah, I got some shows. I'm going to do Brand Improv this Wednesday.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
And then I'm going to do the Comedy Store on Thursday.
Nice. Quick catch up on the news. A lot of crazy politics going on, of course, with Michael Cohen and...
Oh, yeah. He was snitching. The first thing he said was like, are Trump's a racist? He's a con man? And what else did he say? He's a liar. Like, tell us something we don't know, bro.
Yeah.
Give us the inside shit, like his fucking tax returns and shit that, show receipts of him paying Stormy Daniels, Stormy started doing stand-up recently.
Yeah.
I heard she's headlining clubs. So, hey, Stormy, if you need someone to open up for you, I'm not talking about your legs. I'm talking about for shows. Let me know.
Yeah. So, and also very recently, we had the comedian who passed away at the comedy, who performed recently at the Comedy Store.
Brody Stevens passed away. Yeah. He committed suicide.
Very, very sad.
I did the Comedy Store two Tuesdays ago, and I seen him that night. He always had good energy, and I guess he was battling depression for a while. He was 48 years old. He went out like Robin Williams, where he hung himself. So, a lot of comedians, they'd be joyful and seem like they're happy on the outside, but inside, like dying inside or depressed. So if you know anybody that mental illness or suffering from depression, make sure you reach out and, give them a call. Tell them that you love them and you need them here.
Yeah, and also Barry's passing of Luke Perry.
Oh, yeah. He died today. That's fucked up, man. He had a stroke last week, and I guess he died today of a stroke, massive stroke. Yeah. He was only 52, dude, so I don't know if the dude took care of his health or that shit sucks.
It happens, man, and we're about to talk about a comedian legend who we lost early as well. We talked about what happened to last week, Bernie Mac.
Oh, yeah, Bernie Mac.
We lost him early, but I believe the next comedian we're talking about, we lost him way too soon because he's definitely on the rise.
He was only 41. We're obviously talking about Patrice Malcolm O'Neill, what people know as Patrice O'Neill, comic from Boston that was on a lot of shows. And he actually put out his only hour special was the year he died, which was called Elephant in the Room.
A remarkable piece.
Yeah, it's super dope.
Like, it's just constant bits. Like, it doesn't even transition. He just melts well.
He pushed the limit. He pushed the barriers. And he didn't care. That's what a lot of people liked about him. And when he first started, he actually had to go to Europe for a while and do shows out there because, you know, he wasn't going to conform his act. A lot of people were saying it was too confrontational.
Yeah.
Too provocative and little womanizing, but
he took everything he learned from his other comedy greats that he looked up to, like Richard Pryor, George Carlin, where he said, I'm just gonna speak my mind. I don't care how you feel about it. This is my observation. And he was just phenomenal in doing it. He was a very popular guest at the Anthony and Opie show.
And that's how you know how good of a comedian he was. When he did die at an early age in 2011, some of the comedians that was at his funeral was Chris Rock, Artie Lang, Louis C.K., Jim Norton, Dane Cook, Bill Burr, Wanda Sykes, and Kevin Hart.
Yeah, it's just the impact that he made just because he was just phenomenal. And as a guest, he was the perfect guest to shock the audience. Just the stuff that he said.
Yeah, he was definitely one of the most popular guests on the Opie and Anthony show, which is obviously a radio show on satellite radio.
Yeah.
He was one of the favorite guests, and he co-hosted sometimes for Jim Norton.
So we'll share with you guys that this comedian was born December 7th, 1969. He started early in his career. In fact, in one of his interviews within the Opie Anthony show, he shared how he was lucky that he always tried to just make people around him laugh. And he just perfected his craft where he never really had to work. He just kept doing shows at a young age when he was a teenager. And that really kind of shows you how he just perfected his craft.
Yeah, like you say, he started in Boston. And he first performed, first time ever, was in 1992 at a place called Estelle's in Boston, where he attended an open mic. And he heckled a performer who turned to challenge him and say, "Hey, why don't you try it?" And then he ended up doing it.
Yeah. he's also a master in working with the audience.
Yeah, that was a lot of his early work was he did a lot of conversational comedy where he was talking to the audience.
Yeah, he was really good with that. He just initiated the conversation from there. Definitely want to give you guys a hint of his style, how he shocks you, but always delivers an observational point of why he brings it up. Our first one is a bit that he calls asshole licking.
Oh, man. This shit right here is so classic.
So here we go.
You ever look at asshole?
He's asking an audience member that.
You never looked at asshole?
You ever looked at asshole?
Why? You eat pussy though, right? Yeah, the asshole. Look, if a man lick your pussy and don't lick your asshole, I think that's insulting. Because it's right there. Like, if you're licking her puss, if she's laying on her back, the asshole is on you, around your chin. And if you're licking it from doggy style, the asshole is in your eye. Take a swipe, man. She gonna love it. Take a fucking swipe.
Take a fucking swipe.
Hepatitis, schmepatitis, nigga.
Hepatitis, schmepatitis.
Lick that asshole, man.
That's my favorite part of it.
Fuck that, man. Lick that asshole, man. Women's assholes are just gorgeous.
It's just gorgeous.
Give it a shot, sir. Serious.
Tonight. I'm not talking about the lower intestine.
Just give it a swipe. Don't try to get into the lower intestine. Just lick the cigar burn. Just lick the cigar burn.
Just lick the cigar burn. That shit is hilarious.
I know the difference between stink and smell. Stink. Look, stink is not the same thing as smelly. Stink is like, what the fuck? Get up, bitch. Your asshole stink.
Get up, bitch. Your asshole stink.
Away with you. Smelly's like, eh. She must have been roller skating or something. Maybe she was working overtime, whatever. It's that close. It's that close.
That close.
To the pussy. It's even closer on the inside. If you stick your finger in the asshole and your thumb in the vagina, you can touch both your fingers.
You can touch both your fingers.
It's just a little piece of aluminum foil that separates a little bit of the asshole. Foil. If you get in far enough, you can snap your finger. You can, if you get in. Oh, shit. Shut up. You snap my fucking fingers in the boot. Hey, guys, let me get out of here. Y'all take care.
Thumb in the pussy. In the asshole, he said they could touch. That's how close it is.
Snap. Oh man,
he was so vulgar, and it was just cringeworthy. But that was his style of comedy.
I believe of all his topics, he enjoyed talking about women, whether it was sexual, how they are characteristic wise, dating wise, their appearance. He just enjoyed talking about it. I believe it's because he liked getting under the skin of women. Just the reaction.
I think he got rejected as a younger guy.
You think so?
And then once he got power, that microphone, he took it out on women.
But a lot of the stuff he brought up made a good point. It's not like he was being malicious. He was just sharing his opinion on his perspective on things. Here's a really good bit that he came up in regards to the value of women. And he's technically given a jab to society and how they look at the value of women because of how they focus on the news. So we're going to talk about another one from his comedy special. This is, again, the white elephant in the room because it's so good. And you're going to hear a lot of his bits from there. This one, this bit is called The High Quality of a White Woman. Here he is.
Oh, congratulations to you. My friend, look at that white woman you're with. God damn.
He's even got a light on her. This light's not even on him.
He's that black.
That nigga behind you going, yeah, son, I'm with my girl, but yo, for real? That white woman's amazing, isn't she? Tell the truth. He's with his black girlfriend like, nah, I don't know. But that, she's high level. That's a high level white woman right there. That white woman is man, oh man, oh man. Black women get mad at that, but that is top shelf white woman right there. You know how you can tell how pretty a white woman is? The value. You look at her, and then you wonder how long they would look for if she was missing.
That shit was dumb. That shit was dumb.
Come on, take a look. Take a look. Look at this nigga. Look, 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 look! I saw you look mad, sweetie. How long if you was missing? How long you think they were? How long you think they were? Exact. She don't even. She went. You know the deal. I ain't saying nothing wrong. White woman's life is valuable. What's his name? Joran Vandersloot? Right? We find out he was a serial killer. Man, he kills women. That's what he do. He do it well. You know what I mean? We know the girl that he you know, supposedly had... what's the girl in Aruba? Natalie Holloway. Right? But the one, he just killed a girl in Peru. What's her name? Exactly.
Just knew how to set up a joke. He baited the audience to say.
Look how he got him laughing off a dark ass woman like death and murder.
Look how bad you said Natalie. You said Natalie Holloway, that angel.
The Peruvian, not white.
Y'all said that like Family Feud. All right, name a white girl been missing for 5 years in Aruba. Natalie Holloway. Survey says. Name a Peruvian girl that was killed yesterday. What is that big head third world Peruvian bitch's name?
Peruvian bitch's name.
Dude, that was the most recent news. And it's true.
Don't get mad at yourself. I gave it to you. You saw how fast you said Natalie Holloway. Diana Ross right here said that. She knew her name. That white girl with Natalie Holloway. Man, you called yourself a woo.
Right. back to the back to the
watch. God bless you, man. That is high level right there. Don't be that's ashamed of it, that. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
It seems like it's the segue.
She mad as hell. Fuck that white bitch. Wait, you know, come on. Come on.
For sure.
Ain't nobody looking for you. I might look for you, but the news ain't you.
I know it's where he turned this.
You think Fox is reporting you're missing? Let's be honest. Nancy Grace, she leads story on Nancy Grace for the next 6 months. Look. I'm looking at her because she's mad as hell. Black women don't like that shit, but it is what it is. Let's be. Be like that. Let's be honest. That little girl that went missing, she was sailing. Little girl went sailing. I forgot her damn name, but she went sailing and went missing in the Indian Ocean. Okay, and they spent. Good Lord, her mast broke and she was floating around. And she gave out her little signal, her beacon. They looked for her. They spent $500,000, like tax money, to search for her. Now, if that's my daughter, I want that to happen too. But. If you go sailing, let's be honest. How long you think? Are they gonna spend five? Come on. Remember football players in Miami went missing? They went sailing. They looked for them for 8 minutes. Maybe they just sent somebody at the edge of the beach. I don't see him. We have to call off the search because there's too much sun. The conditions are abnormally difficult. If I go sailing, I'm taking a white baby on a keychain with me.
And that's the thing, is that he brings up, observational humor of what's going on in society, what society is socially acceptable, and he just twists it. He just gives his spin to share how he feels about it and what's his opinion on it. And this one is just what the news likes to focus on. That's actually debatable. It is a debatable topic. Do they focus more on light-colored individuals than minorities?
Yeah, that was his only hour special. And then after he died, they put out posthumous career special called Mr. P in 2012. Yeah. And then also Better Than You and Patrice O'Neal unreleased in 2013.
He definitely was on the rise, because if you look at his filmography, he started back in, 1997, like you were saying, and it kind of just increased in the mid-2000s. Mm-hmm. I think he was on the rise.
Yeah,
he was on the rise.
He definitely was coming up. Like I said, he had a regular role on The Office.
The Office, yeah.
He was only on 3 episodes, and they were trying to get him to be on it, but he walked away from that, as well as the show Arrested Development. But they were trying to build a storyline behind the character, and he walked away from that, which are two popular shows. And he was the host of the Web Junk 2.0 for 2 seasons, and then he walked away on the 3rd season, and they replaced him with Ari Spears, because, I don't know, he said he was a bridge burner in the industry. Probably got tired of doing certain things.
Yeah, maybe he enjoyed just changing it up. He felt like, fuck it, I do what I want. But, yeah. Or maybe he knew... He had such a short time. One of his specials, and no, I mean his only special, he said that. He felt like he had a very short time.
One of my favorite episodes of Chappelle's Show, he was in it for the Player Haters Ball. He was one of the pimps on that. He only was in 2 episodes of Chappelle's Show. So the little appearance he did make, it was just funny. And like, he was a beast on the mic. Like everybody said it after he died. Bill Burr saying he was the most purely funny human being I ever met.
Yeah.
And then... Also, Dennis Leary called him one of the funniest men who ever walked this earth. Dennis Leary and Bill Burr came up in Boston with him. And then also Norm MacDonald, he tweeted when he died. He said, one of the best comics I've ever had the pleasure to watch perform passed away.
I think that he has his ability to be as creative and original as possible. Mm-hmm. That was a skill set. I don't think anybody could be as original as he was. It just flowed.
He definitely had a style that was different and unique. But I feel like he was like Dave Chappelle status, where he freestyled a lot of his material.
Yeah.
And he was open form, open flow. And it was a time when he encouraged people to call out stuff to the stage to set up a punchline. And this is exactly when he said, "Ladies, how would you keep your man if you lost your vagina?" O'Neal would ask his audience. And then one woman, they referenced to oral or anal sex. And then he would respond, "See, I gave you a chance to talk, and you qualify yourself as a series of holes." So, like, shit like that. Like, he set him up to destroy him.
He does bait the audience because he has a perfect punchline. He just enjoyed doing that.
Yeah. He was also on Def Comedy Jam. And he also had his Comedy Central Presents half hour special as well. But he was definitely, you know, he was a comedian's comedian. He was the cream of the crop as far as comedy.
He was invited to the Fox Channel a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. That's like for being a black comedian too.
Like he was fearless. I think that's what it was. He's just fearless. He's like, "You want to talk to me? I have stuff to say. And if you're offended, fuck you." It's your fault if you're offended. It's an amazing approach that he took, and that's brilliant. I want to show you guys another amazing clip and how he worked with the audience. And this bit that he has, it's called "Women Tell Terrible Stories" by Patrice O'Neal. Here we go.
What's your name? Dave, what's your name? How are you? This is truth. When you call Dave from another room, "Dave?" Immediately. He goes, "Ugh. What does she want now?" "Dave, you want to hear what happened to me today?" You'd be like, oh. I make my girl tell me the end of a story first before I invest any more time into listening to the rest of it. "You want to hear what happened to me today?" "No, what happened?" "Somebody got shot." "All right, go ahead. Try to tell the story."
To hear the end of the story.
Look at the girl just staring at him.
"You know my friend Diane, right? No, I don't. "You know Diane?" "I don't know Diane, I don't." "Now I gotta tell you another 2-hour story so you know who Diane is. Remember 10 years ago I made you go to a party you didn't want to go to? And I introduced you to some people you didn't care about? Well, Diane was one of them, remember?" Yeah, I remember." "You don't remember, you're just saying you remember. So I could tell the story faster." "Well, why don't you tell the story faster, sweetie? Who got shot? Did Diane get shot? No? Did she shoot somebody? No? Well, why did you say Diane?" "Because we were talking and she don't like guns and I don't like guns and I think they should make a rocket ship and shoot all guns into another..." "Who got shot?" "Nobody, if you're gonna yell at me, forget it." "Oh, I won't tell the story, but you make me feel bad when I tell the story."
I think that's him. That's his style. He enjoy getting inside, just crawling in the skin of women and make him feel like, "Am I lying, or this is how some of you guys are?"
For real. His last TV appearance was on Comedy Central Roast of Charlie Sheen, which he went live for a reason. It's basically he was the headliner of that show.
Yeah, and, which is huge for that.
He destroyed everybody on that stage, dude. He destroyed everybody. He talked about Seth MacFarlane was on there. I think he was hosting it. Man, excuse me. He called him gay. He was like, "There's no way you have that many fucking show tunes on your cartoon." Like you know, Family Guy always has musicals and shit.
Yeah.
He was like, "Dude, you are gay for sure." He was saying, like, at least Hannah and Barbara, like Hannah and, you know, the guys that created
Hanna-Barbera.
Like, Hanna-Barbera, like Flintstones and all the old school Scooby-Doo and all that. He was at least they had a team where they could bounce off each other. He was like, "You ain't got nobody there.
It's just
off the wall with your ideas." That shit was funny, dude.
Yeah, he was amazing. They just... I believe amazing comedy writer. We lost him extremely early. It was really sad the way we lost him, actually. He was definitely fighting a little bit of obesity.
Yeah, he was a type 2 diabetic at age 23.
Yeah. And
he didn't follow medical advice, and he skipped his medication, and he also had a diet that was not recommended for diabetics.
And for a short time, he couldn't talk as he was in his final.
Well, yeah, once he had the stroke, yeah. October 19th, he called his girlfriend, telling her he couldn't move his legs. He was rushed to the hospital where doctors performed surgery to remove a blood clot from his head. And then he lost the ability to speak and later the ability to move, only communicating with eye movements before losing that ability as well. And doctors warned his family that if he survived, he would most likely be permanently paralyzed and unable to speak. So that's probably the worst, especially being a comedian. And he died at 7 a.m. on November 29th, 2011, complications from a stroke. He was only 41.
Very sad.
Like we were just talking about, Luke Perry died at 52 of a massive stroke. And Patrice O'Neal was younger, but he also had diabetes and he was overweight. But he lived his best life, man. He was funny as hell. He toured. He was in London for a while. He went around the country doing big tours with the Opie and Anthony show. They had a show across the country. But, he's definitely ahead of – he was a beast that was gone too soon. He was ahead of his time.
It's like when you gave him a mic, he wasn't going to waste that time.
Nope. He wasn't going to waste that time. That's for damn sure.
He just spoke his mind, said what he wanted to say. One of his funny bits, he goes dark so many times. One of his funny bits on an Opie and Anthony show is the whole thing that happened with Kobe Bryant. Remember the whole rape allegations that took place?
Yeah, exactly, in Colorado.
So Patrice O'Neal started talking about it, saying, how could you expect to go with Kobe Bryant, who's technically a stallion, a working athlete, at a level that another man can't reach, and expect to just be casual sex? We're talking about an animal that Kobe Bryant is. You think you're going to walk out of there just feeling okay? Yeah. And I was like, what? That's just Patrice O'Neal sharing his thoughts and twisting that dark matter into something kind of funny.
Yeah, that's just pretty dark, too. Like you said, he had a cringeworthy comedy and a lot of... it was cringeworthy. And obviously, it was black comedy, insult comedy, observational comedy. But, yeah, he was just his own style. Like, nobody was like him.
And I believe that still falls, in my opinion, it still falls to where I've been saying before. The intent to offend somebody always falls in what is the individual's intent in their message. If you're easily offended, it's likely you have an issue, because comedians talk and say shocking things, not with malice intent. It's to allow you to have a different perspective for you to joke around and play with it and laugh at yourself, laugh at ourselves as best as we can. One of the biggest comedians, Jon Stewart, paid his respect on the Daily Show with Jon Stewart, saying, sad news, once again in comedy we lose somebody who's too funny too soon. Talking about Patrice O'Neal.
Yeah, so. Rolling Stone ran a 4-page article about his career and his death in that February following his death. And then Jim Norton dedicated his 1-hour special called Please Be Offended to O'Neal. And then Louis C.K. dedicated his comic special Live at the Beacon Theater to O'Neal's memory. So he had a lot of good comics behind his back, you know.
We're going to go ahead and leave you guys with a very simple 4-minute clip on Patrice O'Neal talking about relationship mindset. And as much as he jokes around, he actually was a pretty well-rounded guy. He has a lot of good thoughts in regards to his perspective. So here we go, Patrice O'Neal with a relationship mindset.
All my friends are comics, so they don't want to really talk to you about it. I mean, I got one good friend that we talk a lot about relationships and really you classify, you say pimping, but, you know, pimping, people think pimping is, you know, you beat your girl and she goes sell pussy for money, but it's a mentality of, you know, when people are fascinated with pimping, they're fascinated with what does it take to get a guy to be able to have the ability to talk a girl into fucking selling her body and giving money. That's not what dudes want, but they want to know what the magical understanding of that is to like convince a girl against her better judgment, that you're right. And she'd be happy with that situation, you know what I mean?
So The Mac is your favorite movie of all time?
Nah, that one didn't move me. I like American Pimp, you know, I like Pimps Up, Hoes Down. But like I said, I'm not a pimp because I'm missing the gene that would slap a bitch for not giving me money. I'm not that dude. I'm a dude where I'm like, I want to give her money. I want to make sure she's okay. But at the same time, I want to make sure I'm okay too. And not money-wise, just mentally. I want to be happy. I think my happiness, you know, is... I think my happiness is paramount. I think it trickles. If it trickles down for me, it's better, you know, for me. That's what I think. I mean, it could be misogyny or whatever, but I just think it's not 50-50. It's not, you know... I think the only way a relationship could survive is if your girl looks at you like you're better than her. And I don't know how to explain that to make people not mad about it. I just think, you know, if she looks at you like, man, this dude is better than me, the relationship's going to work because she's going to always be trying to make you equal or bring you down. So if you don't let her bring you down, she's going to love you forever. She's just going to always be living to get her, because she hates how much she's in love with you. If your woman hates you, you're in a good relationship, because she really don't hate you. She just hates how much she loves you, because it makes her not focus.
Now, did you always have this confidence, or did you just go through pain?
No, it's pain. Yeah, it's just living life, yeah. I had a couple of epiphanies here and there. And, you know, only thing you have to do to want to have happiness is accept loss, is accept that you may lose. She may walk away and, like, not do, you know, that's the only way. All you have to do is fight rejection and fight walking away. And then once you're able to face that, then you find a good one that's going to listen. Because most of the time, you know, you see girls, you know, even in this show, man, there's some girls that don't got no man. They want a man bad. They don't know how to keep one. They're tired of losing them. They're tired of getting one because they know how to get them. Getting a man is fucking easy. Like getting a woman is our job. Getting a woman is hard for us. Getting her is hard. Now, keeping her is not hard. But getting a man is easy for a woman, but keeping a man is hard. Because they think they didn't really, they don't, their keeping skills aren't sharp.
So, wait, you sound like you're the love doctor. Dr.
Some people call me that, man, you know. You know, some people, I got a show on XM called Black Phillip. I can't tell what it's a variation of, because you get sued, but we call him Black Phillip.
Yeah, Phillip.
But like off the record is like Black Dr. Phil, you know. And I do a show like every month on XM, and we just for 3 hours we just talk shit about girls, man. Because there's no place to talk shit about girls. Where is there? There's no place where misogyny lives. And I'm not talking about women hatred. You know, women haters, the He-Man Woman Haters Club. Not that.
So that's the dynamic that exists in today. As far as women want to be controlled to a certain extent, so they know their man is strong.
Well,
but they still want that.
But women want to run shit. Women want to be the boss, and they're upset about being a boss. That's the thing. Like, you shouldn't be upset about things that should make you happy. Like, a man boss is not an unhappy guy. We want to be the boss. A man without a girl who's got a lot of girls is not unhappy, but a woman that has no man but got a lot of men isn't happy. That whole woman from Venus, men from Mars shit, that shit's true. All you got to do is go how you feel, and it's the exact opposite how she feel. But somebody's opposite has to lose. Somebody has to suffer. So why should it be me? I don't understand why I suffer because you don't understand me. I gotta suffer because I don't understand you, or I understand you and I gotta suffer.
That's just funny.
First of all,
so you don't have definitely sharing the fact that you know, you can't have two captains in one ship.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting perspective. You know, that he's sharing.
Yeah, I'll disagree. I want to check that fucking nose at her worth. You don't want to be like thinking that I'm better than her. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah.
That's something I disagree with him on that. But
he
had that mindset. He had that pimp mindset. That's what he's talking about. He just don't have the mindset to slap a chick over money. He said he'd rather give him money.
It's a different perspective, and that was his style. He just stuck with that topic and carried it. So I hope you guys enjoyed our show. Definitely talking about the amazing Patrice O'Neill and all his contributions on comedy and how he's helped a lot of comedians in their path.
Well, you definitely want to Google, if you haven't seen his comedy, just YouTube it, Patrice O'Neill, Elephant in the Room, or Def Comedy Jam, or Comedy Central Half Hour. It's definitely worth checking out. It's funny as hell.
And that clip we showed you does come from a channel called Words of the Wise. I am going to share the link because I don't know if that content was taken, like they interviewed Patrice O'Neill or they took it from another interview. I have no idea, but it sounds like it's marked by them. So I'll make sure to give them credit for that. So thanks you guys for joining us. Raphael Anthony for Homegrown Podcast.
Jamar McClain. Peace.
Cheers.